God is good. Yes. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Hey, stand this morning and turn in your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter, where do we want to go here? Chapter 4, verse 7. And got some good word for you this morning. You all awake, aren't you, right? You got that extra hour of sleep, and now you're hungry. So, and we got some dessert, I think. So, you know, you can have dessert before you have lunch. That's good. Man, I'd come to Discovery Church just for that, right? So, praise God. Just want to talk about authority this morning because I think this is so important. Where you're living at, what God has given you, that you recognize what you have in Christ. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given. Isn't that awesome? All of you, each one of us, grace, God's unmerited favor, God's provision through his unmerited favor. Each one of us have grace given according to the measure of Christ's gift. According to the measure of Christ's gift. That's how much grace you have. What was his gift? Unending grace, unending measure. His gift is unending, folks. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. Look at this next verse. Amen. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The resurrection is vitally important because the resurrection provided the authority of the believer. Yes. Amen. Everything we have hinges on Christ being raised from the dead. And that same power, the Word of God says, the same power, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. Woo! Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise God. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to someone and say, you've got power. No, you can do better than that. You've got power. Come on, somebody, amen. Wow, that same Spirit living in you today, amen. I want you to drop down over to Ephesians chapter 6, and I want to start in verse 10 this morning, and I want to look at the Amplified, if we can put the Amplified up, and I want us to kind of go through this, because here's the thing. Where does Satan attack us? In our mind. It's the only place he can get to you is in your mind, if you allow him to. He absolutely has no authority. Amen. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Amen. So if Jesus has all, how much is all? All. But we have an enemy. We have an adversary, the enemy, Satan, and he hasn't changed his tactics since Adam and Eve. He works on your thought life, and he tries to get you to buy in to his lies. In fact, Jesus called him the father of lies. And so he tries to get you to buy in to his lies and believe his lies. And if he can attack your mind or come in your mind and get you thinking negatively, that's why so many people today have such a problem, because they don't see God in a clear perspective of who God is. And he wants to distort the image of God in your life. He doesn't want you to see God as a loving God. He wants you to see God as a caring God. He doesn't want you to see God as a God of mercy and grace. He wants you to see an anger, judgmental God that's out to get you. That's what he wants to reflect on God. But I want you to understand this morning, you need to have a clear understanding of who God is and what he's done for you on the cross and through the resurrection of the power of Christ. And so Paul writes the Ephesians here, and he talks to them about the armor of God and putting on, and the vitality of putting on the armor of God, knowing who they are in Christ. And I want to go through this a little bit. In conclusion, be strong where?
In the Lord.
There's where our strength lies. It's not in our self-effort. It's not in the arm of the flesh. Our strength is in the Lord. That is where our strength lies. Be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through what? Your union with him. Isn't that awesome? We are empowered through our union with Christ. He in us and we in him. We are empowered through that union, through the understanding of what Christ has done and where he is within our life, in our born-again spirit. Be empowered through the union. Draw your strength from what? From him. Not from your effort, but we draw our strength from him. Paul said, in weakness, I am strong. Why? Because the grace of God rests in weakness. So the weak areas of your life is really the strong areas because God's grace is resting there for you. Man, that's just another sermon altogether. Amen. Draw your strength from him, that strength which his boundless might provides. Boundless might provides. Boundless might provides. We draw our strength from him. All this is having to do with our thought life, because there's where he has access to you, and the only access he has is what you allow him to have. Hello? We're going to talk a little bit about that. All right, look at this. Next verse. Put on God's half armor. Put on a quarter. Put on. When you get up in the morning, hopefully you put on some clothes. Thank you. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. Put on the whole armor of God. The armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies. Where does armor come from? God supplies it. And all this armor is a picture of Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, Jesus needs, if it's not about Jesus, it's not about it. Jesus, everything in our life needs to be a reflection and pointing to him. Amen. Everything. Our worship should point to Jesus. Everything we do should point to Jesus. It's about Jesus and not about our own effort. It's about him. Hallelujah. Lifting him up. He says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all judgment, all men unto me. All judgment was drawn unto Jesus when he was lifted on the cross. It's all about him and not about us. Praise God. I love this so. Put on like a soldier, man. Be ready. Be prepared that you will may be what? Able to what? Successfully. How many know that success is not a failure? Successfully do what? Stand up. Somebody say stand up. I think it was, Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar. Anybody know Zig Ziglar? That great voice, Zig Ziglar? He said one thing to be successful. First of all, you got to get up. You got to dress up, and you got to show up. Zig Ziglar, here. What does God expect of you? Get up, dress up, and show up. I know this pastor, he was a successful pastor, and he was around 80-something years old, and one of his things was, he says, every time I get up in the morning, I get up and I say to the Lord, reporting to duty, sir. Reporting to duty. Not a bad thing, right? Reporting to duty. So get up, dress up, and show up. And then let him show off. Amen. Successfully to stand up against all the strategies. The strategies. So we understand something about the enemy. He is a strategizer. He wants to strategize against us. And he does it through our mind and what we allow ourselves to think on, our image of who we think God is. Everybody has an image of God. So a lot of times we get that image from our own earthly father, and that can be good or bad, right? So, you know, my father was not a believer as far as I know. Maybe he was. I'm not for sure. I'm hoping he was. We were non-religious. And when I say non-religious, we were hillbilly heathens. We just had no. I never heard the Lord mentioned in my house unless it was in a negative connotation, in a cuss word. That's the only time. Didn't know about that. So, but I hope my father was. But one thing about my father, as far as an earthly father, he was a good father. I loved my dad, and he loved me. So I had a good concept of God, to the most part, until religion came in. And then when religion came in, I found that I don't know if really God loves me most of the time, or if he's pleased with me, or if he's even here. But then when I found grace, wow, and understood a revelation of grace, that I have a Father that always loved me, even when I'm not lovable. Amen. Even when I was far away, he was still pursuing me. Wow. Amen. Got up and was looking out for me. Man, that's a good. He loved me even when I did stupid stuff. He didn't kick me out of the family. What a good God I have. Wow. He is awesome. Grace has taught me so much. When we understand and have a full concept of God's grace in our life, it changes the image of God in our hearts and mind. And man, it just empowers you, church. It empowers you to have boldness. It empowers you to come into his presence with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you are under the religion and the mixture of law and grace, it doesn't empower you, it weakens you. It makes you afraid and fearing, and God's out to get you, and somebody else is too. But when you understand God, you understand his love for you and his sincerity at the cross and what he's done for you. It empowers you, and you've got power on the inside of you, and you can stand up in adversity and say, I'm going to win because Jesus already won. Amen. And he's got my back. Turn to somebody and say, God's got my back. Praise the Lord. Successful. God, turn to somebody and say, God wants you to be successful. He wants you to win in life. Through grace, you win. You reign in life. Man, that's awesome. And deceits of the devil. He's deceitful, guys. He always paints a pretty picture, and there's always deceit and ugliness behind it, right? So let's go on. What does he say? For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood. Turn to somebody and say, the battle's not you. How many people get caught up in fighting one another? When thinking that somebody else is out to get them, when thinking that, you know, that boss is out to get me, that wife's out to get me, that ex-husband's out to get me, somebody's out to get me, I know they're out to get me, everybody's out to get me. When you have an understanding of God and the revelation of God, you can love people even when they're stinkers. You can love them because you realize it's not them. He says we do not wrestle against one another. It's not a flesh and blood thing. There is a spirit behind that person trying to get you off your peace. Amen. And when you recognize that, I'm not going to be moved by my peace no matter what somebody says about me, what somebody might do, what somebody may look at me, I'm not going to allow that peace to be removed out of my life because it's not about them. Therefore, listen, folks, that's why you can still love the ugly. You can still love those that are acting ugly against you because you realize it is not them, it is the spirit. Paul points it out. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the what? Against the powers and against the master spirits who are the world rulers over this. You got that one? You can say it, folks. Amen. Present darkness against the spirit forces of wickedness in where? Supernatural sphere. Wow. That's who we're wrestling against, right? Look at this. Next verse. Therefore, put on God's complete armor. He doesn't lose anything. Doesn't leave anything out. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day. How many know it's an evil day? It's not an evil week. It's not an evil month. It's not an evil year. Hello, it's one day. It's an evil day. You're having an evil day. The enemy is attacking your mind. He's telling you all kinds of stuff and saying you're not going to make it. You're not going to get healed. You're not going to receive this. You're not going to be blessed. All those negative thoughts are the enemy. You cannot think negative and not it coming from the devil. Hello? Of danger, and having done all, the crisis demands to stand how? Firmly in your place. Do not be moved. in Jesus. Stand firmly in your place. Let's go on down and look at this. Stand firmly. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. The belt of truth, which is what? God's word. Tighten that belt. You got to get in the word to know what the word says, amen, in order to know what you have, so you can tighten your belt. Amen. Tighten it up, man. Tighten it up. Hi, we out your bell on the drills, and we're from Houston, Texas. We just thought of this new dance called the Tighten Up. Some of you don't remember that. Anybody remember that? Hey, oh, you remember. Some of you remember that. Wow, that's amazing. Hallelujah. How old are you, Pastor? Wow, if you haven't gone and listened to Archie Bell and the Drells, tighten up. You'll hear it, man. You can Google it, right? So, all right. Stand there for hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the what? Of righteousness. Not your righteousness, not even your own integrity, but God's integrity. God's righteousness. Over the breastplate. All of this is a picture of Jesus, by the way. All of this is a picture of Jesus. I love this. Amen. Having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude and right standing with God. That's all it is. It's saying put on the right standing with God. One of the great things about your weapon of warfare is you're in right standing of God. And one of the things the enemy tries to come and put doubt in your mind is you're not receiving because you're not in right standing. Blow him out of the water. Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because what he wants to do is keep you from the promise of what God has already provided. So he'll come to you and say, oh, you remember that thought you had? You remember what you did? Remember this? You can't be righteous. Well, say, you know what? I wasn't made righteous by my acts. I was made righteous by his act. Wow, by his act, not by my act, but by his act. Not even by my acts, but by his action. I am the righteousness of God, because that's where most people get off. That's where they begin to doubt the Lord, because they're caught up into their acts instead of his act. Good teaching, Pastor Steve. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Go on, next verse. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability. Firm-footed stability. Grace and truth gives you firm-footed stability. Amen. You're able to stand firmly when you have a revelation of God's grace and God's truth. Wow. Gives you incredible power. Amen. The promptness and the readiness produced by good news. Did you get that? The promptness and the readiness produced by bad news, by mixed news, by maybe I have, maybe I don't have, maybe I am saved, maybe I'm not saved, maybe I'm saved today, maybe I'm not saved tomorrow. You know? No, the good news is good news. And the good news says you are in Jesus, forgiven completely. Of the gospel of what? The good news produces what? Peace. Go on down. Lift up over all covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And that's what he does. These little darts that come in your mind, these little thoughts that come in your mind are just flaming missiles of the wicked one. How do you overcome them? By faith. Faith says, I am the righteousness of God, whether I feel like it or not. Faith says, I am the healed of the Lord, whether I feel like it or not. Faith says, I have the provision of God in my life, whether I see it in my checking account or not. Faith said, God's always going to take care of me because I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. Hallelujah. Faith says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Faith says, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Faith says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Faith says, I overcome everything because God loves me. Amen. And in all things, I am more than a conqueror. conqueror. Faith says, I am in Jesus today, and he is in me. I abide in him, and he abides in me. Woo! And that's not all faith says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ himself passes on that authority from the Father to us. We have that authority. One man's mistake brought death, but those who receive the abundance of grace through Jesus Christ, Romans 5, 17, abundance of grace, who receive, those who receive the abundance of grace. Anybody want some abundance of grace? Those who receive the abundance of grace shall what? Rule in life, reign in life as kings over sin and every other thing. We reign in life. Turn to somebody and say, you need to be reigning in life. Reigning in life. Amen. Reigning in life. What makes a king reign? A king reigns by his decrees. When a king decrees something, it changes the kingdom. When he decrees something, it is his word and authority, and things go to work. You will never ever see change in your life unless you're willing to decree out of your mouth what God's word says. You can sit there all day and the enemy going, beating you up in your brain, and you're going, and sit there with a shut mouth. But when you get up and start opening your mouth to the word of God and say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, every tongue that rises up will be, when you open your mouth, you start to decree and agree with God's word. But if you sit there and allow him to beat you up in your brain and don't open your mouth, you're being defeated in every area of your life. You got to open your mouth. Holly said this morning, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Bible tells us that when we open our mouth, we confess our faith, amen, we believe in our heart and we confess. So believing and confessing go hand in hand. And kings decree, and when they decree something, it is. Why? Because they're the king. Woo! Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, I'm a king, man. Amen. I'm a king. Praise God. So to receive the abundance of grace means we decree what God has said about our situation. Amen. Jesus gave his disciples power against unclean spirits. Look at Matthew 10:1. Amplified. Matthew 10:1. Let's put up the Amplified Matthew 10:1. Praise the Lord. And Jesus summoned to him the 12 disciples and gave them what? And what? Over unclean spirits to drive them out and to what? Cure. God gave you power to cure. Power to cure. Amen. All kinds of dis-ease, and all kinds of weakness and infirmity. He gave you the power to cure. Wow, they were given the authority to drive out all those spirits and cure all the weakness and infirmity. Jesus commanded his disciples to use the authority by preaching the good news, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper, and casting out demons. Look at verse 7 and 8 in the Amplified. Just drop down. Jesus gave you this power. You have this same power residing in you today. You have the might of Christ within you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And as you go, preach, saying. Do what? Saying. Not just thinking. No. It's amazing. You know, people sit around all day and let the devil beat them up. Just sit around and let them torment their minds all day long. Let this thought come in and that thought come in, and they just sit there and they take it. You need to open your window, get mad as, you ever see a movie?
Yeah.
And do what? Scream out that window, right? I'm not going to. Was that Wonderful Life? Was that in Wonderful Life? I don't know. One of those movies. I don't know. But as you go preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is where? All right, look at the next verse. Pray for the sick. Didn't say anything about praying for them. It's to cure them. Heal the sick. In the King James, it says heal the sick. You got the authority to heal the sick. You got the authority to raise the dead. Turn around and say, nobody dying here.
Nobody's dying.
No, so no premature death. No way. Get you back up. Shoo! Amen. Wow. May have to throw you up against the wall a few times, but we're getting you back up. Amen. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. No exorcists around here. We're driving them all out. Amen. Exorcism, they're gone. Freely without pay, you have received. Freely without charge, what?
Give.
If you don't receive it freely, you can't give it freely. Freely give. Praise God. We have been given the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and defeat the power of the enemy. Nothing by any means shall hurt us. We have already received the authority to defeat the devil without being harmed in any way. Jesus gave us the mental and physical strength to do this. Look at Luke 10:19 in the Amplified. Luke 10:19. Y'all still here with me this morning? Behold. You know what that means? Look. Listen. Behold. Understand, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing, physical and mental ability. Wow. Physical, take your physical ability. Don't turn a certain age and say, oh, Arthur's coming. There ain't no Arthur around here, baby. I'm not receiving any Arthur. Who's Arthur? Arthritis. He's not coming your way. No, Arthur's not coming to my house. I love Arthur, by the way, but not that Arthur. Amen. He can come to my house anytime. Amen. Arthritis ain't coming. No way. Amen. All that the enemy possesses, and nothing by any means, way, shall what? Harm. Put up the next you. There you go. Just want to make sure you got that, all right? So, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. He said, if you abide in me and my what?
Word
abides in you. There's the secret. Ask what you will and it shall be given. If you abide in him, we are abiding in him today. By faith, we live in him. Amen. We are the branches. Amen. So, we must contend with what we have. God promises never to leave us on our own. He promises to never leave you on your own. Isn't that awesome? Look at Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. Wow. Jesus, I love this. Jesus never relaxes. Nope. Hebrews 13:5 in the Amplified. Let your character or moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God, himself has said, I will what? Not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you. Isn't that awesome? I love that. I will not in any way decree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly, ew, man, that just makes me shout, man. Assuredly not. God's got a grip on you.
Hallelujah.
He's not going to let go.
Praise God.
Man, he is not going to let go. He's got a firm grip on you. He's got you. In fact, the Bible says all things consist or hold together in him. He is holding you together today. You're not falling apart. God has got a grip on you. He will never relax that grip. I love it, man. That is so awesome. Amen. Desert us or forsake us. Those who believe have the power through Christ who has raised him from the dead. God will not alter his covenant or change what he said. Look at Psalms 89:34. Just put that up in the regular King James or something. God will not alter his covenant. He will not alter his covenant or change what he said. My covenant will I not break nor alter the thing that has gone out of what? So if that's the same for him, it's the same for you. Get it out of your lips, amen, what God has promised you. He said, I will not alter that, amen. I will not change it. Everything's held together by that word. Hebrews 1:3, look at this. Hebrews 1:3, everything's held together by the word, church. That's why it's important that we're word people, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by what? Wow, the word of his power. Everything's held by that word. Let's go ahead and read this because it's so good. Amen. When he had by himself purged our sins, set down at the right hand of the Most High, the Majesty on high. Everything is held together by his word. Amen. That's where all things are hanging today. What is hanging? It's hanging by his word. So, James 4:7 says simply, let's look at this. James 4:7. Put it up. Therefore, submit to God. How do we submit to God? We submit to God in our minds by lining our mind up with what God's word said about us. That's how you submit to God. People think that's difficult. No, it's not. It's just lining up your mind with what God's word says about and not what the enemy's speaking to you. Am I the only one the devil ever speaks to? Anybody else here the devil speaks to? Two of you. Wow. Is anybody else the devil speaks to? All right, I'm just wondering, man. Maybe it's me. It's like that guy went in that bar one time and had another guy sitting next to him, and the guy walked in, and you know, this other guy has been sitting at the bar for quite a time, and he's still sitting there and still sitting there. An hour goes by, nothing, no conversation. That's usually unusual at the bar. And finally, after about an hour and 15 minutes, this guy's been sitting there that long time, turns to this other guy and says, hey, I just want to ask you one thing. Do these voices in my head bother you? Now you got to think about that a second. Huh? Okay, that's terrible, right? All right. So, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? He will do what? So we submit ourselves to God. How? By lining up our thinking with what God has already said about us. Lining up our thinking with God's word causes the enemy to flee. He can't stay around somebody's thinking lined up with the word of God. But if your thinking is askew and it's not lined up with the word of God, and you just let him pound your mental self all the time with fear and anxiety and oh my about this and oh my about that and what's going to happen here and what's going to go on here, folks, you've got to take authority over that and take the word and fall asleep like a baby. It's in God's hands. Wow, that is good stuff. Amen. So when we submit to God, resist the devil, he has to flee. The fight is not physical, but rather it's in your mind. And if you win it in your mind, you win it every time. If you win it in your mind, you win it every time. Turn to somebody and say, if you win it in your mind, you win every time. Amen. If you win it in your mind, you win every time. 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is what? So we have the same. How do we have the same spirit of faith? How do we have the same spirit? According to what? We have the same spirit according to what has been written. So if we know what's been written, we have the same spirit of faith. Amen. I believed, and therefore I shut up. I believe, and therefore I sit down. I believed, and so therefore I let the enemy torment my mind. No, I believe, therefore I what? We also believe, and because we believe, we are believers, what do?
Speak.
We speak. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Wow, I love that. Amen. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Isaiah 55:10-11. Isaiah 55:10-11. I want you guys to get this, Isaiah 55:10-11, because this week you're going to go out in the world and you're going to be sitting at a stoplight, or you're going to be at the office, or you're going to be at home, and all of a sudden some thought's going to come in your mind that's negative against God's word. You're going to feel a pain in your body, and some thought's going to come in your mind that's contrary to God's word. Somebody's going to say something to you, and you're going to get all puffed up, contrary to God's word, and they're going to rob you of your peace if you allow them. So you need to know what to do. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, it's coming, by the way, folks, amen, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Man, that is powerful. This is an illustration of God's word. When you speak it out of your mouth, it is living seed. It is living seed. It is like the snow and the rain that water the earth. Hallelujah. And produce. Right? Amen. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it might be given seed to the sower and bread to the eater. What does it say? So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me what? Void. It's accomplishing. So when we speak it, it's accomplishing. It's not returning void. It's not something just, speaking to the air. It is sowing seed for your future. Amen. And seed starts small and then begins to produce an ear or a stalk, and then a year, and then the fruit. So that's a producing of the seed. Amen. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper. That's the attitude of our words, man. When I say it, it's going to accomplish, and it's going to prosper. When I speak it out of my mouth, it's God's word, and when I say it, it's going to accomplish and it's going to prosper. But if I'm just silent and allow the enemy to beat up on me all the time, it's not going to do me any good. All right, y'all still here? Are you here? Wow, my gosh. We have such power and authority that we just so many times we just negate it. We don't use it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know about God's word, you know. Well, it's because you ain't been in it. Amen. You're in it. You'll know it. Amen. Well, you know, it's just believing, receiving, and speaking. That's why God gave you a mouth. It's not just to gossip. It's to speak. It's to speak his word. Amen. God gave you a mouth. Amen. To speak. You are a speaking spirit. Horses don't speak except for Mr. Ed. Everybody knows he does. You know, dogs don't speak. Cats don't speak. Birds sing. Dogs bark, but they don't speak. Donkeys do what donkeys do. Amen. But you are a speaking spirit. Why is that? Because you are made in the very image of God. Isn't that awesome? Man, in the very image of God. So God says, I gave you a mouth. And he says this, for all the promises I've given you, all the promises of God, in whom? In Jesus. All the promises were fulfilled in the Word. In the beginning was the Word. If God even says this, how important is that word in your mouth? John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. It's all about the Word, man. Amen. And the Word was with God. For all the promises of God in him are sometimes. Yes. Well, if it's God's will. Oh, religious. That's religious. Junk, man. All the promises of God are what? If all the promises of God are yes, then what are all the promises of God? Yes. If all the promises of God are yes, then what are all the promises of God? Yes. So what does he promise me? Life, abundantly, peace, joy, healing, health, long life. I will satisfy him, show him my salvation. I love Faith. She gets on there and posts these things of 100-year-old women, and, you know, I just... awesome, out there dancing. I'm thinking, yeah, why? You know, God didn't, you know, you weren't created to die at 40 or 30 or 60 or 70 or 80 or 90. Actually, you're really created to live for eternity. That's why we have that longing in us. But God didn't want you stopping. Amen. With long life, all the promises in him are what?
Yes.
And in him are?
Amen.
So be it. Turn to somebody and say, so be it. I receive. See, you got to get it out of your mouth. Amen. Because the enemy will come by and he'll just whisper something in your ear and you'll just sit there and start thinking on that. And that's negative meditation. Worry is nothing about thoughts coming into your mind contrary to what God's promises are. That's all worry is. It's just turned in negativity. And that's what depression is, because then it gets focused on yourself. So many people are focused on themselves instead of Jesus. Stand up. Praise God. Woo! So many people are focused. You know, it's all about them. We are such a society. It's all about us. No, let's make it all about him. Amen. Not focused on us, but focused on him. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. Isn't that good? He said you can be focused on money, the love of money. That's what he's talking about, the love of money. You can be focused on the love of money. Don't be focused on the love of money. Focus on Jesus. He has it all. Right? Amen. That's a good word today. So what do? When a thought comes in our mind, we sit there and just take it. No, we're not going to take it. We've got authority and power in Jesus to open up our mouth. We're full of grace. We are so loved by him that we open up our mouth and we begin to proclaim what the word says. That's what you do. You proclaim what God's word says. Amen. Proclaim with me this morning. I am the healed of the Lord. No disease comes in to this body. I am free from any flu, any sinus, any difficulties. I am a blood-bought child of God. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, everything functions according to the Word of God. I have a sound mind. Sound mind, not a feeble mind, not a weak mind, but the mind of Christ. The word says that. Therefore, since it says it, I have it. I am prospering in all areas of my life. I prosper on my job. I expect success in business. Everything I put my hand to, everything I put my hand to will prosper. No lack, full of blessings, that I might be a blessing. I have all things that Christ has promised me in my life, full of peace, full of joy, full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Yeah. Just say this. I receive the abundance of grace, not only for myself, but that I might be able to share with somebody else. Man, that's grace now. That's grace. You need to turn to somebody this morning and say, did you get all that today? Amen. Tell them how much they're loved today. You are loved this morning. Amen. Give God another hand clap of praise. Amen. Woo! Come on, you can do better than that. Give God another hand clap of praise. You got all the promises. Amen. They're yours. Amen. Invite somebody out next Sunday. Let's fill this place up. Amen. Tell them they are loved by God. Praise the Lord. A bunch of bikers are coming next Sunday. So wear your biker apparel, please. Amen.